G'day everyone, this is B. Jamine, aka the Terrible Aussie, and after 3 years away, it is back. Welcome to the very first installment of my 2022 Melbourne International Film Festival audio reviews. I can't believe it's been 3 years since the last time I was at MIF, and for good reason too, because, well, as we all know, the last 2 years, the festival couldn't go ahead due to the COVID-19 pandemic, so they'd had to pretty much, or at least the cinema showings had to be cancelled and instead go straight online. But for me, though, even though as great as the festival was still going, at least in online form, it just wasn't quite the same for me. I mean, when I want to go to a film festival, I'd rather be sitting there in the cinema watching all these movies just basking in the glow of them. So I was a little disappointed that, they had to go online, but given everything that's been going on the last few years, it felt very appropriate and safe for everyone. But now that the festival is back in full swing in the cinema, and I've been very excited over the last week since I've been attending the film festival, getting a chance to see all these films once again in a and making sure I'm still safe as well while watching them. So yeah, like it's been 3 years since I last did these audio reviews, so I have a lot of films to cover. I'm going to do the exact same thing as I did with my previous ones that I did 3 years ago. Since I'm covering quite a number of films this year, I thought I will do at least four films per episode. And I've seen quite a number of very interesting films so far at the Melbourne International Film Festival, or MIF as it's known by its shorter name. So I can't wait to dive into these. So, like I said, I'll be doing four films per episode. And let's get straight to it. So for this very first one, I will be discussing the films Salome, Jerry Lee Lewis, Trouble in Mind, Of an Age, and Speak No Evil. So let's get right to it. And first up is the action horror film Salome, which was directed by Jean-Luc Hubelot. If I butchered your name, please forgive me. And the plot summary for this one, which I am reading off of the MIF program guide, is: set against the backdrop of the 2003 Coupe d'Etat of Guinea-Bissau, this genre-scrambling cross-continental thriller follows a trio of legendary mercenaries transporting a Mexican drug dealer to Dakar when their plane is forced to land near the lush Sin-Salom Delta region. This eerie coastal paradise soon turns malevolent when a deaf woman and a cop suspiciously show up, tapping into something otherworldly and unleashing a manic adventure at a breakneck momentum. Now, one of my favorite things when I go through the MIF program, whenever the festival is on, is trying to find films that I've never even heard of before. Because sometimes I always discover so many interesting and unique gems while going through the program. Because, sometimes, yeah, you'll get all the big main headliners and all that, but sometimes it's those small little films that you've never heard of that always end up being quite the memorable experiences at MIF every year. So I was kind of curious to see what would be one of those films to kind of be that next one. So I was kind of going through the program and then I discovered Salome. Now, what caught my eye about this film is not only is it a Senegalese action horror film, but what really drew me to this film was that in the MIF program guide, it kind of compared the film to two horror films that I absolutely love, which of course were From Dusk Till Dawn and Predator. And being a huge fan of those films, I just instantly knew that Salome had to pretty much be on my viewing list for sure. Because if you do know those two films, what the basic plot structure of those ones is that both those films start being one thing, but then halfway through it, it becomes a completely different film. And being that these are all horror films, they all start off being like a completely different genre of film. And then by the halfway point, that's when the horror kicks in. So I was pretty much excited to check out Salome for that reason alone. And it ended up being my very first film at the festival as well. So now having seen it, what did I think of Salome? I gotta say, I thought it was a pretty decent film. I wouldn't say it's an amazing film by any means necessary, but I still found it quite an enjoyable action horror film. Like with the film being starts off being this kind of mercenary story, but then by the halfway point, once they get to the scene the Sine Silom Delta region and this coastal little community, that's when the horror kind of kicks in and it becomes really interesting from there. But that being said, though, as much as I did enjoy the film, I will admit some of the aspects of the plot kind of went over my head a little bit, since I was kind of unfamiliar with the sort of the cultural and supernatural elements of the film setting. Like, since I have didn't really know much about the sort of, the mythological aspects of the Senegalese region. Like, it was kind of unfamiliar to me because the film kind of just shows kind of the supernatural aspects of what's going on, but it doesn't really sort of dive into them as much as I would have liked them to, especially since I'm unaware of what the mythological elements of this region are in terms of when it comes to the supernatural. So when the supernatural element does come into the film and it's shown, while even though the sort of the supernatural creatures that are featured in the film are actually really interesting and unique creations, I didn't really know that much about them. Like, what are these things? Like, what are they supposed to be? And I guess being unfamiliar with that, it kind of lessen the impact of the film overall. But that being said, though, it's still a really entertaining little film that does have some pretty creepy moments, strong performances by its cast. And what I really like, though, is that there's also a twist before, the supernatural angle of the film comes into play that actually caught me off guard, which I didn't see coming. And so I found that quite enjoyable. Although, I guess outside of being unfamiliar with the mythological aspects of the story and also, the country that this film is set in, I gotta say that I felt like the shaky cam can get a little much in scenes and times, particularly during sort of the big set pieces of the film. But that being said, though, it's still a pretty solid an entertaining little horror film. Like, it's not as great as it could have been. Like, it's definitely not on the level of something like From Dusk Till Dawn or even Predator, but it's still a pretty solid little film that I definitely would say everyone should check out, particularly if you, like me, love films that kind of start off being one thing and then become a completely different film by the end of it. It's a really pretty solid little film, and but it made me interested to check out the film's director, Jean-Luc Herbelot. If I butchered your name, please forgive me. Work in the future. I do know that this film is coming to Shudder very soon. I believe it might be coming in September. So if my review of it makes you very interested to check it out, definitely seek it out there once it drops on Shudder. So if I had to give my rating for this film, I give it a solid 3 out of 5. Like, it's not perfect, but it's still a solid little action horror film, nonetheless. Now, moving on to the next film, which of course is director Ethan Coen's solo directing debut, the documentary Jerry Lewis, Trouble in Mind, which of course is directed by Ethan Coen. And the plot summary for this one, which I am reading off once again from the MIFF program, is: while Elvis was gyrating behind a guitar and thrusting his way into rock and roll legend, Lewis is upping the genre's ante and setting the history books alight, almost as if he had to make up for being stuck behind a piano. His on-stage wild man antics, defined by that pioneering playing style, all elbows and kicks and limbs and exuberant energy, were matched by his off-stage actions, including almost killing his bass player, allegedly intending to kill Elvis, and most infamously marrying his 13-year-old cousin, the last of which saw him canceled before cancellation was even a thing. But he had a second coming of sorts as a country and later gospel star. Now 86, he remains unapologetic for his past. Now, if you know anything about Jerry Lee Lewis, like, he is one of the most famous but controversial rock and rollers of all time. Like, I kind of know the basics of him, and I've also seen the movie that they made of his life back in the 80s called Great Balls of Fire that had Dennis Quaid play the role of Jerry Lee Lewis and Winona Ryder playing the role of his then 13-year-old cousin who became his wife. So I was kind of curious to check out this documentary, but at the same time, though, I was also interested, being that this is the solo directing debut of Ethan Coen of the Coen Brothers fame. So we all know that his that Joel Coen went off to make the film The Tragedy of Macbeth. So I was kind of curious to see what Ethan Coen would do with his solo directing effort, especially since this is actually a documentary and not a narrative feature. But the only thing I was very cautious about when I came into this film was its running time, which was only 75 minutes long. So I was kind of a little bit wary whether this documentary would be able to kind of cover all aspects of Jerry Lee Lewis's life in a way that's very satisfying as a documentary, it'd say if it was, say, 90 minutes or 2 hours long. So I was cautious on that front, but I was still very curious nonetheless. Unfortunately, though, the film itself didn't quite work for me. Like, it is a pretty watchable documentary, and all the archival footage of when you see Jerry Lee Lewis perform, especially when he's behind his piano, is fantastic. And I keep forgetting just how amazing of a piano player he is. He is an absolute natural. Like, you just see him tapping away at those keys like it's no tomorrow. I don't think any other piano player since has ever matched that kind of energy that he brings to the piano. Like, he is absolutely amazing, and he's just such a dynamite performer as well. And also, the fact that what was interesting about this documentary, since there wasn't really any new footage of Jerry Lee Lewis, who is still very much alive to this day, they only shot a little bit of sort of with Jerry today, but due to the COVID-19 pandemic, they weren't able to kind of shoot more stuff. So basically, Ethan Coen had to rely on archival footage and also archival interviews with Jerry Lee Lewis to kind of fulfill this whole documentary. And while it's really cool to kind of see Jerry Lee Lewis talk about his life, his controversies, and his work in his own words within this archival footage, but at the same time, though, like, I kind of wanted more. And that's kind of my big problem about this documentary is that I feel like I only got to, since I'm only but know the basics of Jerry Lee Lewis, and I only know certain things about him as a performer and his personal life, I kind of really just wanted more. And I feel like this documentary only scratches the surface of Jerry Lee Lewis as a performer and as a person. And since we're only kind of seeing mostly interviews from him from the past, and with the occasional quip here and there of other archival interviews from other people, I just don't feel like we ever really truly get a well-rounded view of Jerry Lee Lewis as a person. And I kind of feel like there are just some aspects of his life I feel like the film didn't really dive into as much. Like, it definitely goes into the controversies of his life, particularly with his marriage to his 13-year-old cousin, which does go into it a little bit, but it doesn't like dive into it as much as it could have been, or the other kind of controversies that kind of plagued his life. But it was interesting at the same time, still hearing everything from his words. But that being said, though, what kind of caught me off guard with the film is that his accent was very, very full on. And at times, I couldn't even understand what he was saying most of the time. Like, I understand fully most of the time, but other times, like, since his accent was so strong, I just couldn't even pick up what he was saying most of the time, which, again, as a viewer, kind of like distanced me a little bit from fully embracing the film. Like, I probably missed out on a lot of information, but since his southern accent is so strong, I just couldn't even make out what he was saying most of the time, which is a bit disappointing. But that being said, though, like, I think what is worth it about this film is the performance scenes. Like I said, these scenes are fantastic. It just shows how much of an amazing entertainer he is. And when you kind of see him switch over to being a country and gospel star, like, even the stuff that he's performing there is still great, even though it's all dialed down and everything, but he still brings a lot of energy to those songs and those performances that a different kind of one, of course, but it's still quintessentially Jerry Lee Lewis. I gotta say, though, like, even though I didn't feel like I got to know much about Jerry Lee Lewis in this film, like, through how it's presented here, but it has to really say something when at the end of the film, which kind of goes, and minor spoilers, where it pretty much kind of goes into a few more aspects of Jerry Lee Lewis's life, I gotta admit, I felt like I learned more from the end credits of this movie than I did from the actual documentary itself about Lewis, which kind of says everything right there. But that being said, though, as disappointing as this documentary is, it's still a watchable one. It's definitely worth seeking out if you're interested in seeing something different from Ethan Coen. And I definitely give him like a lot of props for trying something different and making a documentary. But yeah, this one's kind of a mixed bag for me personally. A lot of interesting stuff in it, but at the same time, though, it due to its short running time and lack of insight, it just didn't really come together as a whole as a documentary. So if I had to give this one a rating, I'd give it about 2.5 out of 5. Now, we'll move right along to the next film, which of course is the Australian romantic drama of an age. And the plot summary for this one, once again, I'm reading off the MIFF program guide, is as follows. It's the summer of 1999, and two teens fresh out of high school, reserve Serbian-born Nikola, Elias Anton, and fiery Ebony, Hattie Hook, are partners for a dance competition. On the big day, Nikola gets a distress call from Ebony, asking to be rescued from the other side of town. So he enlists her brother, the charming Adam, Tom Green, to take him there. On the drive, amid traffic and amicable swagger, the two young men discover a mutual spark, but Adam is leaving the country in 24 hours. Now, Of an Age, which was a MIFF premiere fund film, which is, of course, is a program within MIFF that actually funds films, Australian films that will play at the film festival. Of an Age was the opening night film. And I heard really interesting things about it and really great things about it too. But all the other screenings either kept colliding with stuff I was already seeing or, or they were sold out. So I thought, okay, I'll won't worry about checking it out. But then, at the very last minute, tickets became available for one screening in particular. So I thought, you know what? I'll check it out and see what it's like. I wasn't sure what to expect from Of an Age because I know it is the second film from director Goran Strzelecki. And if I butchered your name, please forgive me, because he also has another film that's playing at MIFF this year, which of course is the folk horror film You Won't Be Alone, which was kind of a big, massive hit at Sundance earlier this year. So I was kind of fascinated that this filmmaker has not one but two films playing at MIFF this year, and they were kind of released in quick succession within a few months of each other. Of course, You Won't Be Alone being at Sundance and Of an Age being here at MIFF. So I was very curious, and especially that he's a filmmaker who's just come out of nowhere. Like he did a whole bunch of short films that got him a lot of acclaim, and then of course he makes these two features that just come out of nowhere, and these are his first two films, by the way. So I was thinking about seeing You Won't Be Alone at MIFF, but I heard that it was coming out in regular cinemas in September, so I thought I might wait on that. So when the opportunity for Of an Age came up, I definitely took it. So I didn't know what to expect going into it. I kind of knew that it was a queer-themed coming-of-age love story. That's pretty much all I knew about the film when I sat down to watch it. And now having seen it, I gotta say, like, it may be early days of MIFF, but I have a feeling that this will be my favorite film out of MIFF this year. This movie is absolutely fantastic. It is, and I loved every minute of it. This was just a truly exceptional coming-of-age love story that, for me, I just found equally emotional, tender, funny, heartbreaking, and just brilliantly made. Like this film had me from the very beginning, and as it sort of progressed along, I just got so much out of it. And I thought the performances from the three leads were absolutely fantastic. Like I said, it's beautifully made. And the thing I was very surprised by when I came to this film, I honestly thought it might be a bit of more of a very serious, heavy film, but for most part, it's actually a surprisingly funny film. There were quite a number of times that I laughed legit. And there was also quite a number of times where I was quite emotional as well, because being caught up in the lives of these three characters, particularly in the first half of the film, where the characters of Nicola and Adam are getting to know each other, and their relationship blossoms, and they start to fall in love with each other. Like this, their romance together is really compelling, and they have so much chemistry between each other that makes it work as well. And of course, the character of Ebony, who once again I said is played by Hattie Hook, being Adam's sister and also Nicola's best friend, like she is absolutely fantastic as well. She is just absolute fire when she's on screen, and the chemistry between the three really works. And I feel like this is the, that chemistry is what makes the film as great as it is. But for director, and if, once again, if I butchered your name, please forgive me, Goran Strzelecki, like as a filmmaker and as a writer, he just does such an amazing job. Like being that this is his second film and it's so confidently directed and just so beautifully made, and it's just so well written as well. It's a very much a very Melbourne film because there are so many references to Melbourne throughout this whole thing, because characters always mentioning all different parts of Melbourne throughout all of it, which as a Melbourneite now made me very excited because, like, I know all these places as well, and where they go to was like places I've been to as well. But it's such a beautiful film, and I just absolutely loved it from beginning to end. And what's interesting though is like it's actually two movies in one, because you got the first half where Tom and Nicola's relationship blossoms. And then you got the second half, which I won't go into too much because I don't want to spoil what happens. But it's actually a pretty moving section, that second half, because, there's a bit of because the movie is set in two different time periods. So I don't. So you get one half that's set in 1999, and then of course the second half is set in a different year. So I won't say like what that is, because I want people to kind of go into this film and experience that for themselves. But overall, I just found it such a beautiful film. Just I was just legit shocked how much I loved this film. And I love going into a film that you don't really have any expectations for. You just know, like, oh yeah, this person made it, or it's got a bit of good buzz behind it. And then when you come out of it, you're just kind of blown away by it. And for me, Of an Age is definitely that film. It's just an absolutely fantastic film from beginning to end, and I definitely recommend everyone to check it out. I do have one little minor nitpick about it, and it's just something that happens in the last half of the film, but I can't say what that is because, again, it's a bit of a spoiler. But the only thing I will say about that little nitpick, it's about something that happens with this within the story that I found very contrived, and it just didn't really need to be there. And if that little bit was just taken out, this would be pretty much a an absolutely perfect film. And it's very rare for me to say that because, like no film is perfect. Even the greatest films are all of all time aren't perfect. But yeah, I mean, for me, outside of that little nitpick, Of an Age is an almost perfect film, and it's one I've been raving to people to check out. So if you're once this film does eventually get released, seek it out. It is an absolutely fantastic film that I feel that it's an instant Aussie classic, and I'm saying that right now. So, and also it's made me very excited to check out the director's other film, You Won't Be Alone, so which is a completely different film, being that it's a folk horror film, and this of course is more of a coming of age love story between two men. So I'm very excited to see that one and see how they both compare. But for what I've seen of an Age, he's definitely got a massive future ahead of him as a filmmaker. So I'm very excited to check out that film, and also excited for all you guys out there listening to this to check this film out as well when it gets a release. So if I had to give Of an Age a rating, I give it a solid 5 out of 5. I'm very confident in that rating. To me, it's one of the best films I've seen at MIFF so far. Wherever it will still be number one, I get, I still have a lot of films to see, so I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I won't be surprised if it still is by the end of the festival. But yeah, highly recommend Of an Age. Check it out for sure. And now, moving on to the next film, which is the horror film Speak No Evil, and which was directed by, and I'm probably going to butcher this director's name, so please forgive me, Christian Tufdrup. And the plot summary for this film, which I am reading off the MIFF program guide, is as follows. While on holiday in Tuscany, polite Danes Bjorn and Louise befriend vivacious Dutch couple Patrick and Karen. Their respective children, Agnes and Abel, seem to get along, and the meek Bjorn finds Patrick's unfiltered machismo appealing. So much so that he jumps at the chance for their families to get together again when, months later, an invitation arrives to visit Patrick and Karen at their rural home in the Netherlands. Indeed, it would be dangerously impolite not to accept. Now, I won't try to go into Speak No Evil too much because I feel like this is a film that probably best hinges on going into it without knowing too much. But that being said, though, like, I know a lot of people who have seen this film have been raving about it. I know, even people I know personally who really liked the film a lot and found this such an intense and horrifying experience. But unfortunately, though, it just didn't quite work for me, this film. And I gotta be honest, though, this film just very much puzzled me. I found out from a friend after the screening that the director of the film had never made a horror film before and kind of made this as kind of a test to see if he can do it. And watching this film, I can definitely see that. Or at least after sort of reflecting back on the film I just watched, I can definitely see that for sure, because there are a number of times where I just wasn't sure if this film was being too self-serious to the point of being dumb, or if it was being darkly comedic and self-aware of itself, because it feels like it's trying to do both at the same time, because it's a film that very much takes itself very seriously for most part. But while taking itself very seriously, I just found the overall way how the story progresses to be incredibly dumb and full of logic gaps. But that being said, though, there were moments throughout it where, like I said, where there's a bit of dark comedy and self-awareness that pops up every now and again that made me sort of think, like, is the filmmaker in on the joke? Like, is this film trying to be both serious and self-aware at the same time as a horror film? Like, I wasn't exactly sure, and I feel like this tone didn't really kind of work for me, especially as the film kind of progressed. And it just puzzled me so much throughout the film, and mainly because there's a lot of foreshadowing in the first half of the film. Like, I could get a little bit of foreshadowing when a character says something that kind of foreshadows something that happens later in the film, but when it happens multiple times, I got to the point where I'm like, is the director taking the piss out of us as an audience? Like, this can't be deliberate, the amount of foreshadowing in this film. It almost, at times, it felt very comical, like it was like a wink-wink to the audience. And maybe it is, I don't know, but the way how it's presented here in this film, it just confused me. And by the end of the film, once it gets to its very heavy and very intense third act, which I will admit was very effective, unfortunately, though, the first two halves just kind of ruined the film for me to really be taken in by this third act. Like I said, it definitely grabbed me at the end, like it did for a lot of people. But maybe it's because I've seen so many different types of horror films over the years that the film just didn't hit me as hard as it did for other people. And being that the film's bizarre tone for the first two halves was kind of all over the place, kind of just lessened the impact of the film that it could have had. And yeah, I'm just not sure about this film. Like, I don't know what this film was going for. And for me, it just didn't quite work, sadly. I can see why it works for other people, because I know quite a number of people who found this quite a very unsettling and effective film. But unfortunately, it just didn't quite do that for me. The performances from the cast are okay for most part, some better than others. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like some of my problems are stuff that would go into spoiler territory, so I'm not going to mention what they are at all, but I'm kind of curious to see what other people get from this film when they see it, because whether you feel the same way as I do, or you feel that it's actually a pretty solid, strong horror film, I'm kind of curious to hear about that, but for me personally, it just didn't really work and just puzzled me to no end. I don't know what tone this film was going for, and whatever tone it was trying to do, either one just did not work for me, sadly. So if I had to give Speak No Evil a rating, I give it a solid 2 out of 5. It just, yeah, it's just didn't work for me, this one. Well, that's the end of this first edition of my 2022 MIF audio reviews. I hope all of you who listened to this really enjoyed it and has made you very curious to check out some of the films I have mentioned, whether I sort of liked them or didn't. Like I said, I think these films definitely have a lot to them, regardless on what I personally felt about some of them, whether I liked them or didn't like them. There's definitely a lot in these films that I feel like would be very interesting to people to check out. So I'm kind of curious to hear what all of you think. So if you do check out these films in the future, definitely let me know what you think of them. And yeah, so stay tuned for the second edition. And keep a lookout very soon for my second edition, in which I will review the film Sissy, Godland, War Pony, and Funny Pages. So stay tuned for that, and I'll see you all then. See everybody. Bye.